Hi, I'm Lisa Levin.
And I'm Julie Sapper.
We're the co-founders of Run Farther and Faster and co-hosts of the podcast under the same name.
Well, we started this podcast as a Boston Marathon-focused podcast based on the experiences from our combined 31 finishes. We cover all things running-related.
We've coached runners of all levels and goal distances all over the world for over 13 years.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are so excited you're here.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy June. June snuck up on us somehow.
I can't believe it's already June. I think it's the May and June effect. Every week is just filled with anomalies of activities and events. So the weeks fly by, but yet they each week feels so long, right?
Yeah. This is that time of year. I think we talk about this every time of year. This is end of school craziness and start of summer and that overlap between school and summer, which I feel like is right now because like, the pool is open and summer feels like it started, but we're still in school. And here in our area, at least we still have 2 weeks of school left. So it's a lot of things going on. We have a lot of friends graduating from high school and colleges. So just it's at that time of year, which is exciting and fun. And I love it. I love it when the pool opens because that means summer's here and I love summer. So I love it, but it is definitely, like you said, it's a little bit of a crazy time.
Yeah, particularly for parents. And I was just talking to my sister about this. I said, June can be really overwhelming, but it really is the only time of the year where as parents, we're reaping what we sowed. It's truly like an opportunity to see in person, live, often accomplishments or some tangible opportunity to watch our child achieve something that they've been working on for years. So it's such a happy time. It's an important time. And it's just, these are a lot of moments occur in May and June. And we know there are a lot of folks listening who are feeling that right now, a lot of milestones. It's an emotional time, but it's also just a time to be really proud and embrace that. And particularly after the past few years where events have been curtailed, it's really nice to have everything back in full bloom, so to speak, with all of the pomp and circumstance that these kids deserve. So it's really an exciting time. And I love sharing accomplishments with my friends and seeing their kids accomplish so much this year. And so I digress, but that's kind of,
well, that's related to what we're going to talk about today, because the transition to summer for a lot of people, not just parents, but a lot of us is a transition in schedules. It's a transition in weather. It's a transition in, just our routines. So we're going to talk about that today. But before we get to that, I want to talk about sort of a milestone that you had this past weekend. Do you want to share with our listeners?
Yes. I'm feeling weird about this for some reason, because I still can't believe it happened, but I ran my first race over the weekend at Rehoboth Beach, and it wasn't something I was intending on doing. I was thinking about it in my head for a good week, knowing I was going to be there. And the beach races are an opportunity to run flat, which we don't have much around here in the DC area. And I kind of was thinking about it, and I felt pretty good over the past couple of weeks. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. I haven't run anything fast since my injury, let alone my surgery. My surgery was December 12th. So it's June 1st. The race was May 28th. And so I was nervous, but I told myself, I'll give this a try. And if I don't feel right, I'll just run an easy race with a lot of people and have a good time. So I warmed up on Monday morning. It was a little bit of a rainy morning, and did the course a mile and a half out and back just to warm up. So a total of a mile and a half, just halfway out and back. And I felt okay. And the horn went off and I didn't look at my watch. And I said to myself, I'm going to try to run fast. I got the blessing from my PTs and everything, but I'm not going to look at my watch. I'm just going to run my feel. And at the half mile mark, I'll look at my watch. And I looked down and I was running 7:20, which is a pace I haven't seen since November. And of course, I haven't even tried running that pace. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited because I felt okay while doing it. And I just said to myself, well, if I can sustain this is fantastic. I'm not going to try to go any faster because I'm comfortable right now. And then at the turnaround, I felt the same. And so I started passing a few people, and a man, of course, this always happens to me, a man in like probably his 60s or 70s got up right at my shoulder. It was really close to me. And I was able to say a full sentence, which went like this: "Hey, would you mind moving a little bit? I tore my ACL in November. I had surgery in December, and this is my first race back, and I would hate to trip and just ruin everything. So would you mind either passing me or just scooting away a little bit so I can have my space?" I swear I said like a whole paragraph to this man, which also indicated to me that I probably could have gone a little faster, but I didn't want to. And I finished the race. I missed a turn a little bit because I was so excited in my glory that I was in the wrong lane to cross the finish line. But then I like jumped over this rope to cross the finish line.
Oh, that's the smart thing to do when you had
it. Yeah, but I meant like it was a low rope, not a high, but I realized I was in the wrong lane and the timing map was on the wrong side of where I was running because I wasn't paying attention. And I swear, Lisa, I felt like I had a PR because it was, you know.
You did. You had a post-surgery PR. I think it's a whole new
world.
Counted as a whole new phase of training.
So I ran the race in like 23 and change. Typical 5K time for me is, you know, good 5K these days is around 21 and change. And man, I felt like $1 million. Couldn't believe it. I did a cool down lap just to make sure everything felt okay. It did. And then
you placed first in your age group, right?
It's all about who shows up, right? I think I was like the fifth woman overall. And I just feel so excited about this because it tells me two things. Number one, I'm stronger than I realized with respect to running. I've been really careful about paces. I've been running so easy for every run, but I realize I'm actually okay to run fast, which is so exciting for me. And number two is that I still love this. I was afraid after all of this that I would get back into a race environment and feel just like meh about the whole thing and feel just not myself. And having the opportunity to go out there, I'm going to cry. It was like, I'm back. And I know I can get back to where I was or close. And even if I can't, I love this sport and I'm still going to do all the things. And I am so fortunate that I've had this team of people surrounding me, including you, Lisa, that have been encouraging me and pushing me to get to the point where I could do this. And I'm not done. I'm still going through PT. I'm still doing so much rehab, but I reached a milestone that I never anticipated I would reach this soon. And I'm super excited about it. And I will also add this week, I am taking it super easy. I'm running very easy, very light mileage this week, just to absorb the work that I did on Monday, because that was a lot on my body. I hadn't run fast in months. And then I went and did 3 miles. So that is where I am. And I couldn't be more excited. And thanks for your encouragement.
Well, that makes me happy for you and just happy in general, because I love seeing that your joy and that you're back. But I think it also highlights some important points that I want to kind of pull out from that. First of all, you ran easy since December, since your surgery, you've only run easy and you were still able to pull out a really stellar 5K performance. So it just goes to show that if we have the ability, that you don't have to be running speed work in all of your workouts to be able to then go have a good race. Now, was it your best race? Was it your, you know, peak performance? No, but it was still a super strong race at a really fast pace, much faster. I can say, just based on what you've sent me on your runs, at least 2 minutes per mile faster than what you've been running all of your runs at. So that's just, I just want to use that as a, you know, that's people say, well, how am I going to run fast on race day if I'm not running fast in training? It is your base fitness. It is everything that you have built over the last several months. It's all of that. That is most of your fitness comes from your aerobic fitness, your aerobic endurance, even at the 5K distance. And that's what you built, worked so hard to build. So even just with that, you're 80% there now with speed work and with some more mileage, you know, obviously you'll start to whittle that down again, but it's just such a good example of how you can run, train easy and still race fast. So I thought that was important. I was going to ask you, is that the race Michael Wardian ran? I saw he ran a race. Yes. At the beach too. It was the same race. Yeah. He won it, I think, right?
He won it as usual. He also won the race at the beach the day before the 5 mile. Okay. He was there with his Vizsla dog. He's so sweet, Michael, and everyone was chatting with him. And he's just He's such a light. Yeah. Was a prior guest on our podcast. And
yes. And I just saw him post that he ran at the beach, and I was like, oh, I think that's a residual. Really, yeah. So anyway, I think that's, like I said, I love that you've kept your head down. You've been patient. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You've gotten in the work. And the other thing I will say is that your time extrapolates to well below your Boston Marathon qualifying time. So if in the future, you know that you're on the right track is if that's a goal of yours in the future, you know that you're kind of back on the track to get there eventually. You're not there yet, but it gives you, like we with our runners, when we try to get a baseline at a shorter distance, it gives us an idea of what they're capable of. And so that was kind of the first thing I checked selfishly. I was wondering, not to put any goals in front of you and not to rush you, but I was like, oh, I think that means she's back on track to get back to Boston.
I love that you did that so quickly. Like, I texted you, look what I did. I'm so excited. And then you, like, within a minute, you wrote back, and here's what your time extrapolates
you've got to go at your own pace and your own time frame, and you've got to listen to your body, and you may still have it's not linear, we know this from before, so this is a big high point, and but you've been really realistic and patient, and I love seeing that you're back, and I love seeing the happiness. Just, I could tell from your text, just how happy you were. So I think it's great. And that's why I wanted to share it today. So, speaking of training,
I want to do something specific. And that is, you made a great point about easy paces and what that translates to. Just full disclosure, my easy paces generally are between 10 and 11 minute miles for every run.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So significantly slower than what you ran your 5K.
Yeah.
So again, just goes to show that's that base of fitness, though, that you've worked really hard to build the last several months. So so speaking of bases of fitness, that's what we want to talk about today. This is a time when a lot of people are starting to think about their fall goals. And we're getting a lot of calls, and a lot of our current runners are starting to talk. We're talking to them about fall next goals for the fall. And we're getting a lot of new clients that have fall goals. So we wanted to talk today sort of about how fall fitness is built in the summer, and what we're doing now, how we as coaches and athletes ourselves use the summer, and the kind of unique aspects of the summer that come up, how we approach that, so that come fall, our fitness is in the place we want it to be for whatever our goals are.
Yeah. We were trying to come up with a title for this episode, and we both do not love the title. What is it? Summer bodies are made in the winter, because it's all about physique, but playing off that, truly fall success is built on summer training. So the first thing we want to talk about is really important. And that is setting goals. How do you know what goals work best for you for every given summer? And we phrase it like this because some folks feel like when summer months come, oh, I need to figure out my fall marathon. And it's just this sort of automatic, well, of course I'm running a marathon in the fall, or which marathon are you running in the fall? And we're here to tell you that you don't have to run a marathon in the fall to train in the summer. There are so many opportunities in the summer to train for shorter distances throughout the summer and into the fall. And what's so great about summer is there are so many races out there as opposed to winter.
And short races, 5Ks, 10K, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't underestimate the 5K. I mean, if you train for a 5K, that is tough training. You still have to have solid base mileage. You can still enjoy the long run social opportunity. But when you run a 5K and you run it hard, your recovery is that much less. And then you can jump into something else. And that is super fun. So as far as goals, because that's what we're talking about for tip number one, look at your life outside of running when deciding what goal you want to set. If you're doing a ton of traveling this summer, maybe this isn't the summer for you to train for a marathon. Or if you really want to do a marathon and you're traveling this summer, choose a late fall marathon when you don't really have to start your marathon training in earnest until August. If you want to run a marathon and you are traveling a lot this summer, then take a look at your planning, your schedule. We'll get to this more. You may not want to do all of your long runs on the weekend. You might want to work in your long runs during the week and reconfigure that so that you are able to fit in your travel. in terms of looking at your life outside of running, and we've said this a lot, take a look at your family dynamics. If you are a parent and you have a lot of things going on this summer with your children, where it would make it very difficult to train for certain distances, think about your goals, think about what you want to do in terms of your own happiness, and don't feel weighed down or pressure to train for a marathon because that's what you've always done. It's okay to change things up.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who hates training in the summer weather, you know, we have a lot of runners who say, I dread training in anything over 60 degrees. Well, doing a 20-mile run when it's going to be 70 and high humidity when you wake up even early in the morning might not be fun. So yeah. And I we've encouraged a lot of our runners, depending on, you know, what their lives look like and what their goals look like, to take the summer and the fall to focus on short distances. Cause like you said too, you know, if you can whittle down your 5K time, that's going to, just like I talked about extrapolating your 5K time to a marathon time, you can whittle down your 5K time. You can also whittle down what your potential is at the marathon distance. So don't discount having a cycle of training that's focused on short distance speed. So if your life is going to be busy this summer, and like you said, if you've got kids that have swim team every weekend and you're not going to be able to get your long run in without a lot of stress and juggling things around, if you don't like running in the heat and humidity and just seems stressful to you, set different goals, figure out what's going to fit into your life. So I think that's a really critical point. And we've really learned over time to talk to our runners as we're setting goals and figuring out, is this something you're going to be able to do? Because we don't want to get to a point halfway through training where it becomes stressful or not fun anymore, or they have to now change their goal and they, you know, and it feels disappointing to them to change their goal. So at the outset, look at what your life is going to look like over the summer. Look at, you know, what do you enjoy about training, and set your goals accordingly.
All right. And then a second tip for a successful summer buildup is making a point to fit in the little things. So you're probably listening to this. Yeah, we've heard this before, Julie and Lisa. We know we need to strength train. We need to do mobility work. We're here to say that we would rather see runners run one less day and fit in a full strength training workout or a few less miles. And maybe your run is supposed to be 7 miles, but instead you do 5 and take that extra 20 minutes to do a portion of your strength workout and then add in an extra 10 to do the whole strength workout, because you truly only need 20 to 30 minutes to do a meaningful runner strength workout. We're here to tell you that is going to make a big difference, especially if you're training for, well, all distances, but if you want to train for shorter distances, a lot of your speed comes from strength and power. And so if you have more muscle and more strength, that's only going to yield a faster time. And then of course, for longer distances, it's injury prevention. So strength training really helps, but it can't be like a Peloton boot camp a couple days a week where it doesn't have structure. You really have to strength train with structure, just like running. So it can't be something where you're willy-nilly pulling a workout here or there and just randomly doing them. It's got to be something where you're building up each week, you're doing a little bit more strength, you're staying consistent with the exercises, so you have benchmarks, and you're working on the muscles that require your power. So of course, we've talked about this a lot. You need glute strength, but you also need glute activation. Of course you need leg strength, but you also need ankle strength. You can't just have calf strength without ankle strength, foot strength. You also, of course, want core strength and upper body. So full body strength is really what you're going for, but it needs to be something that is purposeful and meaningful. And if you're not sure where to start and you don't have a coach or a personal trainer, we get that. There are so many great programs out there that are structured. One that we really, really like is the Peloton Beginner Strength Training for Runners programs. They're 4-week programs. I believe the app is still free for the first 30 days. If not, it is a luxury. It is somewhat of an expensive investment. I think it's like $40 a month, the Peloton app, but I think you get a trial period. Give that a try. And if that doesn't work, there are so many YouTubers out there these days that have strength training for runners, free videos that you can build upon each other, but just whatever you pick, stay consistent with it and build on it just like you would with a running program.
Yep. If you're one of our runners, we have Kelly Redmond, who's done a great series of videos that we include in training. But that's, again, if we're looking at what you can do in the summer to set yourself up for a successful season in the successful race season in the fall, it's fitting in those little things. It's figuring out, how do I want it? How am I going to intentionally fit in strength training? So if that's hiring a trainer, if it's finding a class, it's finding a program, it's finding a YouTube video, whatever it is, think about that now. The next thing we want to talk about is a popular topic right now, especially this week for us. We've been pretty blessed with really good weather in May, like beautiful, pretty dry here on the East Coast, at least cool weather. And it's starting to get warm up this week. And a lot of our runners have mentioned that they're feeling it. So we talk about this every year, but it's going to take a while to acclimate. And even once you acclimate, it doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to be able to run fast again or feel like you might in the ideal temperatures. So slowing it down in the heat and humidity, and I'm going by effort. Your body doesn't know that, oh no, I only ran a 9:30 pace today, where last week I ran a 9 pace. And your body knows effort. So your body's gonna adapt and make changes based on your effort. So go by effort. Know that when the weather cools down, you're gonna feel great. And all that fitness that you built is going to pay off. You've got to adjust your efforts, adjust your paces to match effort in heat and humidity, especially humidity. Humidity is actually has more of an impact than the heat.
Yeah. And that goes for racing too. We had a couple of runners do races on Memorial Day on Monday. And that was a tricky day because the air temperature wasn't that high, but the dew point and the humidity was 90%. And a few of our runners' feedback was, oh, wow, that race was really tough. My legs felt like mud. Well, you're not acclimated. So of course, when racing for the first time, when it's really humid on a day where we haven't had humidity before, your times are not going to translate to what you would hope on a cooler day or after you're acclimated. So to that end, as Lisa mentioned, continue to run by feel in the heat and humidity, run your easy pace, whatever that looks like on a given day. It may be different day to day, depending on the weather, but also recognize your race times in the summer may be a bit slower, but that doesn't mean you're not getting the benefit of that workout, and that won't translate to faster times in the fall.
Right. So exactly. How do we build speed in the summer? We run by effort, and our bodies physiologically change in the summer to actually improve our fitness. So just know that those changes are happening, and that will show up in the fall. So related, fueling in the heat and making sure we're adequately fueled, and not only fueled, but electrolytes. So that's something you want to practice throughout your training, especially if you get through a longer training run and you're starting to feel lightheaded or weak, or you're really slowing down, incorporate electrolytes. And we don't mean, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, yeah, I take electrolytes like on the race course, like I take a little sip of the Gatorade or whatever. That's not really getting you a lot of electrolytes. First of all, a lot of those drinks are watered down when they're mixed, so you don't know what the concentration is. And even Gatorade Endurance, which has a higher concentration of electrolytes, you'd need to drink a lot of that to get a good concentration of electrolytes. I like Salt Stick Fast Chews. They're easy to bring with me. They're chewable. They're almost like a candy type of, chewing thing. You could also take the capsule if you want to swallow it with water. Figuring out what does your body need in terms of electrolytes and staying fueled. We don't always feel hungry in the summer. I know when I get home from runs and I'm like sweaty and gross and, I don't feel hungry. I feel thirsty. I don't feel so hungry, but fueling after your runs, fueling during your runs, figuring out what works for you, just like you would do any other training cycle. But again, really paying attention to those the electrolytes, which you may need in the fall. Like if you end up with, still having kind of a warmish race day in the fall, it's something you'll want to have practiced during training.
For sure. Smoothies are great for the summer. If you can make a smoothie in advance of your run and just stick it in the fridge, it's great. Add some protein to it as well, and you've got your protein carb combination and a cool drink after a run when you might not feel like eating. I think it's Aaron Featherston that talks about running shower smoothies is what she calls them. So I really love that. I feel like that's like a cute way to kind of encourage people to run, be prepared. And then, I'm sorry, Megan Featherston, run, be prepared, have your smoothie ready. And if you feel like you're short on time, bring it in the shower and drink it in the shower. I think that's pretty brilliant. So thanks for that idea, Megan, and just be prepared. And the other thing I wanted to mention, Lisa, you mentioned electrolytes, having electrolyte drinks with you at work, at your desk, around your runs. It's not just when running, it's at all times. We are sweating more in the summer and we're more exhausted from our runs and workouts in the summer because we're more depleted. So that requires us to have more electrolytes, not just around our runs, but throughout the day. And it catches up with you. You may feel fine. And then 2 days later after your long run, you may feel like total crap. And that probably means you were underfueled and your body just didn't get the adequate recovery. So it takes a few trial and errors. And I will also point out, our bodies change. So maybe while we were younger, we could get away with drinking less electrolytes. Maybe our salt and sweat rate, it was different when we were younger. But as we age, that can change. So don't always rely on what you did the previous summer or summers, but listen to your body and ask yourself after hard workouts, how am I feeling one day, 2 days after? Oh, I might need more fuel. I might need more electrolytes than what I've been doing. And certainly use your own sort of feedback, not just what you've done in the past, to make sure you're getting enough of that.
Yeah. And we shared one of Kelsey Pontius's posts this week, which I thought was really interesting and very enlightening about how our bodies, until we're acclimated, how our bodies need to be fueled a little bit differently. And prior to acclimating, our heart rate is higher because our body isn't used to the heat, which means we're burning more carbs. So we need more carbs before we're acclimated. Our bodies lose more electrolytes when we're not acclimated. So we may need to up those electrolytes, like you said, during the workday. So I thought that was an interesting, you know, I liked kind of reading what she had posted, was that, you know, those, until we're acclimated, our bodies have different electrolyte and carbohydrate needs.
And yeah, plug for Kelsey, if you ever feel like you need additional support with your fueling, we know there are so many great registered dietitians out there. Kelsey Pontius of Meteor Nutrition, she just hired a few additional dietitians to work with her. So she is taking clients. And of course, we also mentioned Erin Featherston. It's great to have someone take a look at your fueling, especially in the summer. It's a great opportunity to do some trial and error. And if you nail down your fueling and you train your gut well over the summer, when you do get hot and overworked in a race and you're starting to feel like your muscles are working so hard, your gut isn't going to shut down because you've trained your gut over the summer to work through stressful situations.
Yep. Which is different than the winter. We don't get that opportunity if you get a warm race in the spring. So, great tips, great opportunity. Our next tip, we give this every year, but it's worth repeating. You know, people go to the beach. That's great. Like you said, flat running, obviously, like different types of, you know, different running routes, like great. But every year we get somebody who says, I'm going to go run on the sand, usually barefoot. And, you know, I have this, you know, dream of running on the sand and I'm going to go do this great beach run. And then they say, oh, now my calf hurts really bad. So if you're going to the beach, by all means, enjoy running. But we would say, be very careful about running on soft sand, in shoes or without, especially without shoes. But we always give that little tip every year. So if you want to get to your fall races healthy and uninjured, watch what you're doing, what surfaces you're running on, and the shoes that you're running on this summer.
Yeah. So our next tip is, speaking of the beach, hopefully those of you listening have a lot of fun things planned for the summer, which may include some travel and some schedule changes. And certainly, as we mentioned in tip number one, you want to plan your training and set your goals around your life. You don't want running to be your life. You want your life to work, running to work into your life and not interfere with your life to such an extent you're not able to do all the fun things. But when you do have a fun thing planned, you might have to work your schedule, reconfigure it. And this is a time when people tend to say, you know what, I don't want to do two hard efforts in a row, but I don't really have a choice because I'm leaving for vacation on this day, and this is the only time I can fit in my workout. Don't do it. Instead, if you are someone that has a training schedule where you've got perhaps two hard efforts a week and you have to put them close together to fit both of them in, take away one of the hard efforts, or take your hard effort, i.e. your speed day, and wrap it a little bit into your long run. So let's say you've got a speed day where you're doing some mile repeats. Instead of doing the mile repeats and then just 2 days later doing your long run because you're trying to squeeze it all in, skip the mile repeats, run easy, and then take a portion of that workout. So let's say you had four mile repeats for your workout. Maybe just do two or three and fit that into your long run as a tempo effort in your long run. That way you're having some speed work and you're also getting your long run. And this is for more advanced runners. If you haven't done the distance yet and you're building up for the first time, we would never recommend doing speed work within a long run. But if you're a more seasoned runner, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And what you're giving yourself, of course, is more recovery between hard efforts. And you're not setting yourself up for a potential injury because you've tried to cram too much too soon, too fast into your schedule so you can get to all of your workouts before you go do your summer fun things.
Yeah. And rest assured too, that if you take a week or even 10 days off from structured running, you're going to be okay. So if you can't fit in your long run when you're away for vacation, skip it that week. You'll get it when you come back. It's not going to be a make or break. If you are trying to fit in your running when you're going away, check out ahead of time, running routes. There's so many different resources online. You can look at Strava. You can look at discussion board. You can look at on Facebook. You can contact running stores in the area that you're going to ahead of time and ask if they have a list of local running routes. A lot of times the hotels or resorts will have lists of running routes, but kind of do your research, see what is your safe and available running route going to look like. And if it's going to be something short, like they've got a 3 mile loop around the property, that's what you're going to be able to do. Then, you know, okay, I'm going to keep my runs short. You know, it's your vacation time. You don't have to feel like, you know, you have to fit in a lot of structure, when you're away. And related, our next tip is, sleep in summer. And that can be a really variable depending our schedules change. So kids are out of school, maybe be in camp. There might be a different schedule for getting to camp. Our vacation schedules, work schedules are different, and, daylight is different. So I know I'm like waking up earlier because it's light out and I don't have blackout shades in my room. So I'm waking up earlier. And a lot of times we're staying up later because it's light out later and we're out doing things and it's out. It's nice out and we're spending time with friends or family. So sleep patterns change in the summer. So just pay attention to that. If you've got the luxury of being able to take a nap in the middle of the day, maybe when you're on vacation, get in a nap. And then just, you know, pay attention to your sleep and remember that's going to be a factor in your running.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that's really sneaky about summer because everyone's more relaxed in the summer, but really when you look at the numbers, we are definitely getting less sleep in the summer as runners. And one of those reasons, of course, too, is we want to get up as early as possible to avoid the heat and humidity. Nobody wants to do a run at 10 a.m. in the hot, humid temperatures. You want to run, if possible, 5, 6 a.m. And frankly, sometimes after 6 a.m. in July or August, at least in our area, it's too hot to run well. So we get that. And if you are someone that's getting up super early to fit in your runs, then be mindful of what time you're going to bed. So we can't always control, for example, we know a lot of times those people who are swim parents have late swim meets and things like that. And you're not getting into bed on a Wednesday night swim meet till 10, 10:30, 11. But if you have the opportunity to get in bed early, even if it is just getting dark out, try to do that at least a few times a week. So you're not always burning the candle at both ends. But we get it. I know I've experienced it, Lisa, where I'm like, why am I so tired? I'm not stressed right now. I'm having a great summer.
Right.
I realize I'm not going to bed until 10:30, 11, but I'm getting up extra early to run early and I'm not getting 7 or 8 hours of sleep every night. And it builds up and it affects you. It can really sneak up on you in the summer.
Right. So that sleep, again, building good sleep habits and getting good sleep, which helps with recovery, is going to help set the stage for, you know, good performance, come the fall. But the other benefit about summer is that we are at the pool. We do have access to a lot of cross training that we don't necessarily get, in the colder months. So I know a lot of our runners are excited that the outdoor pools are opening and they're going to get back in the pool. Great recovery, great cross training, getting out to ride your bike, going out paddle boarding, going out, you know, kayaking, canoeing, so many different things that you can do. So take advantage of that. And mix up your training. You know, you can replace a running day with a cross training day. You can use swimming as recovery, but take advantage of those opportunities that we get in the summer that we certainly don't get in the wintertime.
Yeah, definitely. And Speaking of summer opportunities, it's always fun in summer to wear fun footwear. Everybody has their favorite pair of sandals, flip-flops, boat shoes, whatever your pleasure in the summer.
Where we're going barefoot a lot. We're walking around barefoot everywhere. Yeah.
Great point. And you guys all know who've been listening for a while, we love UFOs. We think UFOs are just a godsend because they're recovery shoes and they allow you while you're walking. They literally massage your calves. They're great for recovery. But we notice a lot of folks wear flip-flops, sandals that they think are comfortable, but they'll wear them for miles and miles. And then suddenly they realize a couple of weeks later that they're having some plantar fasciitis or some type of foot issue or ankle issue. So just be mindful of the footwear that you're wearing or not wearing, as you mentioned, Lisa, and have a few different pairs of summer shoes to rotate. We know that sounds like a luxury because here we are telling folks, have a few different pairs of running shoes, which we talked about just a few weeks ago with Kelly Sharp. And now we're saying, have a few different pairs of summer shoes, but really you don't want to always wear the same pair of shoes, even if they're UFOs. You want to switch those out because a lot of people have foot problems in the summer as a result of the shoes they're wearing outside of running. It is something that can be problematic. I know I had an issue several years ago. I believe you did too, Lisa. And we found UFOs. They definitely have solved our issues, but I don't wear my UFOs all the time. I try and switch things out. And if you're someone that has arch issues or ankle issues, really try to avoid those flat flip-flops. You want to have some heel support because that can really ruin your feet too. They may feel comfortable at the time, but having those flat flip-flops walking around or flat sandals walking around in those all summer can really wreak havoc on your feet.
Yeah, good point. And we hear from the podiatrists that we work with and the physical therapists that we work with that they see a lot of this in the summertime. And they're saying, what shoes were you wearing? And oh, I was just barefoot at the pool all day, or I've been at the beach and I've been walking around the house barefoot because, you know, our feet aren't cold because the weather isn't cold. We don't have our you know, socks and shoes on in the house. I really rotate between old running shoes that aren't in my running rotation anymore. They're too old to run in, and UFOs. That's kind of what I rotate through in the summer and, or really anytime. But like you said, it's important to make sure you've got some support, and flip-flops seem to be the prime culprit for foot, ankle, calf, even knee issues that we see in the summer. So we're going to close it out with our most important tip. You want to take that one, Julie?
Yes. And that is, whatever you decide your goal is going to be this summer, make sure what you're doing is fun. Life is too short for running to be stressful, to be a burden. It should be a joy. And if you're not feeling joy from your running this summer, then it's time to reevaluate your goals. And maybe that means a different distance goal. Maybe it means no goal at all and just running for fun. And that is absolutely fine. You do not need a race to legitimize a runner. You are a runner if you run. You don't need to train for a race to be a runner or to enjoy the sport. Or it may mean you want to take a little break from running and just for the summer, do something else. Like Lisa, you just mentioned, cross-training opportunities are plentiful in the summer. And there's no reason why you have to commit to just running if you're just feeling burnt out. But figure out ways to find joy in your running. So some suggestions we have for that to make running more fun is, of course, find folks to run with who you don't see a lot. Have an opportunity to catch up on conversation and really enjoy running with people that you don't get to see all the time. Join a running group. There are plenty of wonderful running programs out there, whether it's through your local running club. Ours, of course, is MCRC, or through your local running store. There are plenty of opportunities to join groups. Hop in a race. We both love racing in the summer. And if you are someone that enjoys racing and you have some restraint, there is nothing wrong with doing a race and attaching it to your long run, for example. So if you're on vacation and there's a race at the beach, as I just mentioned, you can do a 5K, warm up for a few miles, run the 5K, and then do some cool down miles. And then voila, you've got your long run. So what are some
park
of your
runs? Park runs are all over the place. That's like kind of a fun, low key way to go out and do something a little bit different. But I completely agree with you. If you're going on vacation, a running tour, book a running tour. You've done that. We've both done that before. And that's a really fun way to see a new city. So yeah, find fun ways to you know, find different types of races. There are obstacle races. There are like the ones that, I don't know if they're still doing them, but like the color ones that are like, you know, find something fun to do with your family, just to do that mixes it up. It's a great opportunity now to do that.
Or because the kids are out of school, if you want to go for a run and have one of your kids ride their bike alongside you, that's a great opportunity to combine some fun with exercise for them. I mean, if anyone else has suggestions for ways to make running fun, definitely reach out to us. We love hearing what you all do to make running more joyful for you, but it should, bottom line, it should be a joy. This is our hobby. It is not our job. We are not professional runners. We are not paid to do this. This is something that should enhance our lives. Not
even if you are paid to be doing it, it still should be fun. Like I feel like you're right. At the end of the day, and that's what we, you know, always, that's what's so important to us with our runners. We always ask them, like, are you still having fun? Like, once they're not having fun and they're not enjoying it, we're like, all right, we got to change goals here. And that goes all the way back to our first tip that we started with, is kind of look at what's going to bring you joy this summer and into the fall. What's going to fit into your life? What is it that you want? What excites you about running and about setting goals? That way, hopefully you are having fun.
Absolutely. So I think that summarizes our tips for the week. And before we go, we just wanted to thank those of you who left reviews on our podcast this month. As we had mentioned earlier, we're giving away a copy of Christine Yu's book. And we wanted to just announce that the winner this month who left a review is Emily Bray. So Emily, if you are listening, please reach out to us with your mailing address and we will send you a copy of Christine Yu's book. And to everyone else who left a review, we cannot thank you enough. We really, really appreciate not just the fact that you left a review, but your kind words. It means so much to us. We love hearing from you all. And we so appreciate that you listen to us week after week. And that is exactly why we do this. So Lisa, I hope that you have a great week.
You too, Julie. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Run Farther and Faster Boston Marathon podcast. We want to give a special thanks to our editor, Aaron Bryant. And if you enjoyed this episode and enjoy listening to our podcast, please share it with others. And please leave a review if you haven't done so already on iTunes. Thanks for listening and have a great week.